Can you hear me now? There you go. Started something last week and I promised I'd finish it. The story of my teacher and mentor went on a date, got done with the date, pulled up the house, nervous as all get out. She leaned over closer and closer, more nervous. The closer she got, the more nervous he got. She leaned over and spit out the window and got out of the car, went in the house, and never went on another date. That's it. I know, anticlimactical, right? But I want to know this morning, after services, if you came just to hear the rest of that story, all right? Hey, listen, we've talked about being all in. We've talked about being all in for God as a church family, as people of God living right here in Roswell, that this year we are all in for God. And that doesn't just mean everything we have. That means all of us being all in for God. And the question last week was, are we making a measurable difference in our community or simply conducting services? Scary question to ask, even scarier to answer. If we stop meeting here on the corner of Washington and Country Club Road, would this community miss us? Are we making that big of a difference that they would miss who we are as a body of believers? We can answer that question, and if we asked everyone, we would probably have that many answers to that question. Well, we talked about how maybe sometimes we don't realize the gravity of the situation that we were in before Christ and how Christ saved us, and so maybe that's why we don't try to reach out as much as maybe as we ought to, because we don't fully understand what we have in Jesus Christ. And we talked about how sometimes we don't know or realize that we're here for a purpose, and it's not just together in this room, but it's really to reach out into a community around us. And then we ended, and what we'll talk about today is that maybe, just maybe, we don't know how to reach our community. And that's legitimate. I think often we have, as churches and as church leaders, given this idea that this is Christianity, and that Bible class is Christianity, and that we as leaders have not led in a way. And I say leaders as I point at myself too often in this aspect of not helping us to realize that outside of these walls is what God has called us to be. That outside of this building is where God has called us to go and where God has called us to serve. And so before we can do that, I believe that we need to understand that we need to be in the counsel of God. And that's where it all begins. And by that I mean, and it's not on your screen today, read it sometimes, in 1 Kings chapter 22. You see, yeah, Jehoshaphat came down to Ahab, and he's like, hey, we have this land that really belongs to us. Should we conquer it? And so they asked all these prophets, and all these prophets wanted to say what the kings wanted to hear. And so they would say, oh yeah, it's yours. Take it, and God will be with you, and God will bless you. And they said, is there anybody else? And Ahab, the king of Israel, said, oh yeah, there's this guy, Micaiah. I mean, I don't like the dude, because first of all, he really doesn't ever prophesy anything good about me. I mean, he's that preacher that will never say anything good about me, all right? I don't really like him. But one thing about Micaiah is that Micaiah would tell the truth because he sought God. It wasn't about what the kings wanted to hear. As a matter of fact, he didn't say something very nice about Israel, and Ahab said, I told you so, and he ended up getting slapped in the face because he didn't say the things that the king wanted him to say. But here's the truth. Micaiah wanted to know from God what God wanted. Family, let me suggest, let me state that we will never be effective in this community if we don't first seek the counsel of God. Does that make sense? And by the counsel of God, we've got to be people of God. We've got to know the mind of Christ. And we're going to shoot through these really quick this morning. We've got to come to know what Jesus wants, come to know what He wants for us. We've got to know the mind of Jesus. Jesus would come in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and He didn't title it that. That's what we've kind of given it a title. And He would begin to say some things. He would begin to say that we should think differently about our circumstances. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, He would say, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." What are you talking about, Jesus? "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn." I mean, how many people are excited about mourning this morning, you know? I mean, how many of us are excited about that? But Jesus said, "For they will be comforted." "Blessed are the meek." Well, the world doesn't tell us that. But Jesus says, "This is who is blessed, for they will inherit the earth." And He goes on and on in the Beatitude section of this sermon. He would say, "Be salt and light. You are the light of you're the salt of the earth," verse 13. "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." You see, Jesus didn't say these words, and they weren't recorded by Matthew, so we could sing, you know, the little song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." I mean, that's a beautiful song, but Jesus wasn't after that. He was after about telling us that we're different, that things under Him and things with Him are different. And that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He would say, "Do not murder, but also do not hate." In verse 21, He would say, "You've heard it was said, be careful when men tell you something that God does not. You've heard it was said of people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders is subject to judgment. But I tell you," remember, things are different under Jesus, or maybe the same that they didn't know about. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, if anyone says to his brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." What do you mean? I didn't murder anybody, all right? But did you hate somebody today? You see, we've got to understand that in the counsel of God means that we have to understand the mind of Christ. And understand the mind of Christ will change this community. Adultery is bad, but lust is the same. He would say in verse 27, "You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." What do you mean, Jesus? It's not just about the outward things I do. It's not just about the places I go. It's not just about the act of committing adultery. You mean there's something in the heart? You see how it changes who we are? It changes how we react to people. It changes how we reach people in our community. We have to be in the counsel of God. He would talk about the eye for eye. Eye for an eye. You have heard in verse 38. You've heard it was said, "Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." And if someone, this is hard, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. That's different than the advice we would get from the world. Practicing our righteous deeds, he would say in chapter 6 and verse 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." You mean, it's not about these outward things that I say and do. It's not about blowing the trumpet before I give money in the plate. It's not about how you see me worshiping God. It's not about how you see me praying and the words that I say. It's different when it comes to Jesus. If we're not in the mind of Christ, and if we don't know the mind of Christ, and if we're not in the Scriptures, we don't know how Christ wants us to be. He would say, "Don't worry," in verse 25 of chapter 6. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, about what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And he'd go on to tell them what they should be worrying about seeking the righteousness of God before any of these things. And all those things would be given. Here's a big one. Don't judge. Chapter 7 and verse 1 would say, don't judge, or you too will be judged. Doug and I are going to spend several weeks talking about Christ in his life and how we view Christ in the things of Christ. Because one thing that, as Doug and I were talking, that we want in this is that for you to be able to be encouraged through the life of Christ. If the leaders in this church want us to be in the mind of Christ, then we're going to talk about the mind of Christ. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about who he is and what he wants us to be. So we'll spend a lot of time here over the next couple of months talking about the life of Christ. But family, if we're going to get outside of these doors, we're going to have to let Christ change us from the inside first. Amen? Some of you think it. All right. Here's one that sobers me beyond anything in the Bible. If we're going to get outside of these walls, we have to get in the mind of Christ. And it determines, and it's based on what we do for others. You see, being with God and in God changes by how we treat others. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. Out of the Message. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all of his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep on his right and goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things, for someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you never visited. Then those goats will say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison? It didn't help. He will answer them, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who has been overlooked and ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. And those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Sobering, if you think about it. The difference between heaven and hell It's what we do to those around us. The difference between heaven and hell isn't how long the sermon is today. Oh, we focus on that, don't we? All right? How many songs were sung this morning? Was it pitched just right? And all along, there's a world dying and going to hell around us. And God has called us to those people. God has not called us to the people who have plenty. God has not called us to the people who have everything. Jesus would say in the temple that he came for those who were lost. He came for those who were blind. He came for those who were in prison. Yet I'm afraid we put on our Sunday best, we come to worship, we've done our duty for the week. What we're here to say this year, if you're visiting with us, this is kind of an internal thing. You're like, whoa, didn't mean to come this Sunday. All right? We're family here, okay? And so when we need to talk about something serious, we want you to know that we're serious about reaching the lost. And so just hang on with us if you're listening in on the radio or on Facebook or if you're just here visiting. Because we want you to know, too, that we're serious about the world around us. What the shepherds here, what Doug and I here want this family to know is that should we ever not exist, we want it to hurt. We want people not to hurt, but we want them to miss us. We want them to say, where are they? We want them to say, those people always came for me. We want us to make a measurable difference in this community. We want to conduct services. We want to be here. We want to worship God, which I believe is something that is vital to who we are. But we as a body of believers want this community to know that we love them. And only in knowing the mind of Christ, and only in doing the things that aren't comfortable, will we fulfill the purpose that Christ has for us. It's not up here on your screen, but maybe listening to God a little more might be part of it. I was asked many times to be a part of a prison program at Christmas, just one time a year. And I would always tell, Doug was his name actually, I would say, Doug, I'll think about it. What I was really telling Doug is, I don't want to do it, but I'll tell you I'm going to think about it so you get off my case about it. I remember walking out of my home, opened the wooden door, opened the screen door, and that's right where it happened. And God reminded me, and God began to speak, Matthew chapter 25, to me. I was there that Christmas. Because I heard God. Maybe we need to listen to God a little more than talk to God. So what do we do? Let's take this little bit of time we have left. What do we do? Sometimes reaching people is not about standing on the corner with your Bible. That's really not an effective method in our world today, in our culture. Sometimes reaching people is reaching them based on your own life. I mean, if you've moved around in your life a time or two, I don't know if we have any, what they call, army brats, any army brats here today? Anybody moved around before? That's how you reach people. The next time you hear somebody say, I'm tired of moving around. I'm tired of moving into a new house. Then you say, let me tell you something. Let me show you how God moved me as we were moving from place to place. Maybe it's a widow. Maybe it's a widower. Nobody can reach somebody who's lost their spouse better than those people. Let me tell you how, when I lost my husband or when I lost my wife, and what God did through me. You see, reaching out is not always about inviting somebody to hear a sermon. Maybe it's sharing the sermon of your life to them. Maybe you've had cancer. Maybe you had a child with cancer or a parent with cancer. Nobody can reach to somebody like that, like you can. Sometimes it's reaching somebody based on your life. Maybe it's the physical struggles that you have in this current world and the pains in your body or the limits that you have in your body. Nobody can reach somebody who has physical restraints like you can. Maybe you're fighting this world and this life in Satan as a single parent. Nobody can reach a single parent like you can. Sit down and say, let me share with you how God is helping me through single parenting. Sometimes that's how we reach people. Maybe you have a non-believing family member. Maybe a sibling. Maybe a parent. Maybe a spouse. Maybe just a friend whom you love dearly, but yet they haven't come to God. No one can reach somebody who has a non-believing sibling or parent or friend like those of us who do. Let me sit down and tell you my struggles with my non-believing sibling or my non-believing spouse and how God is helping me. Do you see how it works that way? I mean, nobody reaches people like those who have gone through life and life struggles. And if you will interject God in those conversations, if you will just interject Jesus and what God is doing through you. I think because we have our Sunday best on every Sunday, and we come here and we say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? I mean, that's Sunday mornings are some of the biggest lies ever told. Because truth be told, sometimes we struggled in the morning. I mean, I heard the family in the car behind me in Starbucks today, all right? Sometimes we struggle in life. Yes, it was one of us, and I'm not admitting who it was. How can I help you by what's happening to me? Nobody reaches those who struggle like those who are currently struggling. And reach them with Jesus. We're going to serve together. So reaching people with who you are and your life experiences, we're going to serve together. We're going to, this year, we're going to put together some community counts projects, some service projects that we can do as a family. And you'll see them, you'll hear them coming, and as we advertise them, there'll be at least two big ones. There are some things that we can do in this community that will be really big, and there'll be some smaller ones. Because what we believe is that if we will raise our children learning to serve God and to serve others and to reach out to other people, if we will do that from a young age, and it will help families grow together, we'll have some little things that we can do. It might be something of somebody in the community, some elderly person that has a beautiful little flower bed area, and there might be a couple of families that just go plant some flowers. Because any kid would love to pick up a flower and dig a hole and put it in the hole to serve others. And so we'll be doing some stuff like that. And so to do this, now this is not biblically based, serving is, but this is something different that we're going to piggyback off of a business here in this community. If you want to bring that next, the picture up behind us, what we're going to be doing is we will piggyback, for lack of a better term, off of some current service projects. Say there's something going on. Let's say whenever they go to plant flowers on Main Street, all right? So we'll announce that. And then what we would like to do is something misspelled. Somebody was chuckling. I don't know if it is. If it is, I'm sorry. But what we would like to do is we'd like for everyone to have a shirt, to have this shirt right here. They're $10, all right? Don't let that limit you, because Lee has said he'll buy anybody. No, he didn't say that. But we will buy you a shirt if you can't afford a shirt. The idea is, like, if there's a community project going on, they're calling for all people, we want to show up as a body of believers from Country Club Road Church of Christ. We want to be able to share, wear our t-shirts. Well, guess what we just did? I mean, other than the cost of the t-shirt, that project didn't cost us one dime. So we're able to use our other resources for other things in the Lord's body. And we were able to serve and let people know that this body of believers, this is not a show-off, okay? This is not a, hey, look at me, I'm from the Country Club Road Church of Christ, and I'm better than everybody else. This is simply us serving in the community. And so we want everyone to have one of these shirts. There's a sign-up table, a sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer. And like I said, don't let that cost keep you from having a shirt. So we're going to give 2 or 3 weeks for that, and then we're going to order these shirts, and we're going to serve in our community. Because honestly, sometimes we just don't know how to reach out. And so as a body of believers, we're going to help you reach out into this community. All the way, their sizes from the little kids all the way to us bigger kids. And if you want a long sleeve shirt, if you want a sweatshirt, if you want a hoodie, if you want one of the girl women's shirts, how they're shaped different, I don't know. They have the little V-neck. Those are all available. If you want them, come and see me. We can talk about it. They'll be a little more expensive, but just your basic t-shirt will be just that. So we're going to reach out into the community. We're going to reach people by our life. We're going to reach people into the community with community counts, service projects. And then the next is just a big question mark. The next is what we want to hear. You can take that off the screen if you like. The next is just a question mark. Because that comes from you. Because I believe, and we believe as leaders in this church, that you have some of the greatest ideas and thoughts about how we need to reach this community. And we want you to know that you're a part of this. This is not a Doug or I thing. Doug and I. It's not about Lindsay. This is not about the elders. It's about us as a family. And so we want to hear from you. And so in your life groups tonight, those of you who are involved in life groups, this is one of the things that you're going to focus on the most. So be thinking about, be praying this afternoon about how can we reach our community? Now, we're not going to be able to do everything that everybody says, but we're going to do our best to look at all of these things and to hear from you how you would reach the people around us so that they know Jesus more and they know that we love them even more. And if you're not involved in a life group, I don't know. You should be involved in a life group, Davis, right? Amen? Yeah. But if you're not, really, write it down. And give it to one of the elders, give it to Doug, give it to myself. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take all of these ideas, and we're going to kind of line them up and lay them out, and we're going to pray over them. We're going to give them to the shepherds so they can kind of see what you guys are thinking. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. So collectively, as a body of believers, that's not going to be a question anymore. We're not going to have an excuse to not reach our community. And we're not going to have an excuse not to be all in. You see, we're about what Jesus wants us to be about. And he came to seek and save the lost. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Can we pray this morning over you? Can we lift you up in prayer? Maybe you came here this morning ready to surrender to God, ready to be baptized into Jesus Christ, ready to have your sins washed away. If that's you, I want to make an invitation for you to come down front, for us to gather around you. You won't be alone. And we'll gather around you. We'll pray over you. We'll lift you up. Will watch you be baptized into Jesus Christ. You need him this morning. If you need to be saved this morning, if you're ready to do it, then come as we stand and as we sing.